I've been captivated by just the verse from Psalm 34 that links into several other portions of Scripture, but the challenge of preaching from a text is quite the challenge today, just from one verse of a text. But it's Psalm 34, and within that context, I wanted to focus on verse 8. Can you imagine? It's now about 11:44. I anticipated it would be earlier, but just look at the watch now. Don't look at it anymore until we finish. Can you imagine if the doors opened and, well, by the way, are you hungry? It's not lunchtime yet for most of you. But if you were outside today, you might smell the beautiful aromas of food being prepared. And it could entice you. But could you imagine if the door swung open and in walked a whole collection of waiters and waitresses from the various restaurants up and down Lawrence on either side, or the collection of people that have come together to put on a display, a sampling of their best foods from around the world, cooked in the best ways and for the best people in the world? Could you imagine if these people could walk in now with trays in hand and say, we'll stop for the worship for a moment and we'll have some feasting on the best foods? Wouldn't that be enticing? Wouldn't that be an invitation? I got thinking about invitations, and they come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? And we'll come to that in a moment. But captured in this psalm, this hymn book, the Hebrew hymn book is the Psalms, and it would have been familiar with Jesus, the hymn book of the Jewish faith. It would have been familiar hymns for Peter, and we'll look at 1 Peter chapter 2 for a verse or two. And it would have been familiar to the Apostle Paul as well. Hymns of their Jewish faith would have been well known from the Psalms. And we've chosen one here that could be a hymn. Not all of them were necessarily sung. Some of them were chanted. Some of them were read. But they were part of the acts of worship of the Jewish faith. And we, in the Judeo-Christian context, enjoy singing and being inspired by these Psalms. Psalm 34 is one of those. What keeps people coming back? They tell us that by the time this weekend is over, some 50,000 people will come to the Lawrence area between Warden and Birchmount, or just down as far as Victoria Park. Some 50,000 people will have visited. They have come by a compelling invitation. Something has drawn them. Something has drawn us. Curiosity, maybe, or a possibility of sampling some of the finest foods or the finest wares, or the exposure to some of the finest people in the world, or the entertainment that could be there throughout the day of different types, engagement and involving, and the children have been active in some of the participation that's gone on here. And I'm glad to say that the folk from the core yesterday tried to reach out and say, we'd like to give you an invitation to be a part of our church family, to be a part of our worshiping context, to be a part of who we are in the presence of God week after week in different ways, in different programs and activities, but most of all worship. I'm also glad that this corner is a praying corner. I'm glad it's a praying corner. And we have proven that several times lately as we've been here. We have prayed for the needs of our community. And prayer has offered here more than just on Sundays. Those who come for help and for services and for ministries and programs here know what it's like to hear prayer. And, you know, if you're only visiting this morning, let me remind you that you can bring your prayer needs here to this place and you can be prayed for. Or the needs that are burdening upon your heart will be prayed for. This is a prayer corner. Scarborough Citadel of the Salvation Army is a part of the Christian church, and we pray to God our Father through Jesus the Son, and we thank God for His Holy Spirit. We worship the triune God here, and you are welcomed here. The signs will tell you many times over. If you have seen the recent video that's produced by the Corps, you will see you are welcomed here. You are welcomed here, and we want to reinforce that here today. Come in. Well, we're here for a taste this morning. I trust it's a taste. Psalm 34 is a testimony. And in the midst of a testimony, there is an invitation. I grew up in the Christian faith in a Salvation Army context where testimonies periods were given in almost every meeting. And some of the testimonies would often include an invitation. a celebration of thanksgiving to God for what he has done, a witness to what God means to people, and usually tucked into that in that testimony, there was an invitation as well. This is part of David's testimony of Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Why? My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Why? Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Why? Because I sought the Lord, he says. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. If you know the life story and the experience of David, you will know that this is true. Those who look to him, David went on to write, are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man, he says, his own testimony, this poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, David goes on to write, and he delivers them. And then he gives the invitation. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he that takes refuge in him. I hold in my hand a beautiful invitation that we received in the mail just a few weeks ago. It has a picture on it of two familiar people, familiar to us and familiar to many of you. It was an invitation to a 50th wedding anniversary. The black and white picture of Kevin and Mary is beautiful. It was a picture taken on their wedding day. And you know what it says at the bottom of the caption of their picture on this invitation? It says, "We still do." Ah, you're supposed to say, "Ah." Say, "Ah." Ah. We still do. Because those many years ago, 50 years ago, they said to the promises that were being offered, "We do." Or I do, or I will, we still do. Look at the person sitting next to you. If they're that husband or wife, say to that person, "I still do.
I still do."
What a beautiful invitation. We couldn't be there, so we sent a message because we had committed to being here. It was yesterday, their 50th wedding anniversary, Majors Kevin and Mary Rideout in Ottawa. They were members of this congregation, maybe. I think so. Invitations come. But I believe this is a combination of an invitation and a testimony. Because they said, "We still do." Testimony. And it's an invitation. I couldn't miss that. And the psalmist said, "Taste and see." Let's look a little closer at this invitation. Just briefly. The time is rolling. I know that. It's an invitation to taste, to sample, to take the first step. Now, come on, if you've been to Costco lately, you, as well as I, enjoy the samplings that are offered. If you go hungry, especially. Dangerous to go shopping for groceries, they tell you. When you're hungry, you buy more than you need. A tip free of charge for today. But at Costco, they stand there at these desks, and they offer you a sampling of the products that are on sale here at the store, and you can hardly resist them. You have to taste them, because they believe that if you taste, it's just the beginning. It's an invitation to take. Taste and see that the Lord is good, the psalmist said. Spiritually speaking, for you and me, it may be a fresh start. It may be a fresh start. It may be a new beginning. An initial taste can't hurt, can it? That's the invitation the psalmist is giving. To test for yourself, in other words, don't just take somebody else's word for it. Don't always judge its quality by someone else's experience or attitude. You have heard other people say it is good. You may have even heard someone disagree with that by indicating that this religion thing or this God thing is not for them. Just because they feel it's not for them doesn't necessarily mean that you might discover that it's not for you. It is for you. I am sure of that because I believe the Word of God, the Bible, the most trustworthy ancient document you can find. An invitation. I believe that the experience of God and knowing God and coming to know Jesus is Moorish. That's a Newfoundland word, maybe. I would describe Moorish of a potato chip of a certain type that I would like, because you can't stop at just one. You've got to have another and another and maybe another. So you say, they're Moorish. Is that okay? It's Moorish. Maybe it's not a Newfoundland word, but it's one of my favorites because I love food. I have a great appetite. And I make a special prayer about that these days, that if God would only restore and stir within me an equal longing to return to him as often as I love to return to the table. As often as I get hungry here and I think I want something else, I'd like to have something else. Oh, that God the Holy Spirit would continue to stir up within me that hunger. An invitation then. It was an invitation to taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good, the psalmist said. It's an invitation to see. I think that's a little step further. To discover for yourself, come to your own conclusion, to thoughtfully awaken something within you when you see beyond just tasting. To perceive, in other words, to be informed, to be enlightened. It will engage the mind or maybe even the deeper thoughts. To truly see, to be convinced of something deeper here, beyond mere sampling, beyond just initial tasting. Many who have truly tasted the rudiments of Christian faith have also discovered a new dimension to living. Testimonies could be heard, could be read over and over again. There is a good reason for this, and I'll come to it just before I conclude. Many have proven it to be such a contrast of understanding and a way of living. They have literally declared, like John Newton of old, with that famous hymn that is known around the world, when he declared, I once was blind, but now I see. That's the contrast that John Newton described. That's how different it was for him to taste and see that the Lord is good. The amazing grace of God. I was blind, but now I see. Taste and see that the Lord is good, wrote the psalmist. A number of authors that have been reading recently have come back to Jesus in their main focus. In Christian circles, they have literally told about how they were transformed by their contact and interaction with Jesus. If you've read Lee Strobel some years ago, and how in his search for faith, a well-renowned journalist of the Chicago Tribune, with a legal mind, he approached this Jesus and analyzed him up and down, in and out, across in whatever way, to try and prove and whether or not Jesus was truly the Son of God. And he wrote a book about his experience, how he was transformed. His brilliant mind and his committed spirit responded, and he wrote the book, A Case for Christ. A Case for Christ. His discovery was more than just an apologetic or proving the facts. He discovered something far more meaningful. What about Josh McDowell some decades ago, who was on a similar search in a university context? And he was fascinated by these Christians that were around that continued to encourage him and invite him to faith in Christ. And he rejected it for many times over and finally began to make his own search. And he has written about it in many different ways. But one in particular is the book More Than a Carpenter, all about Jesus, who Jesus really was and is. Ravi Zacharias, I was listening to him on a YouTube clipping just this morning, afresh again, written the most recent book about the experience of his life and his relationship with Jesus. What a brilliant mind is that of Ravi Zacharias. And he's written about why Jesus, in the midst of all the other significant people of our day and age in our world, those of us have influenced us, why Jesus. He tells of his experience of 17 years old, lying in a hospital bed, recovering from an attempt to take his own life. Came to a discovery, an understanding of Jesus for himself. More than just the taste, he dug down deeper and drilled down further and explored it to the extent to which he came to a saving knowledge of Jesus as his Savior. And it transformed his life, and he travels the world these days. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him, is the continuing of the text. It goes beyond tasting, it goes beyond seeing as a discovery, because seeing is that, to discover for yourself, to come awake, to the truth, the enlightenment of who Jesus is, to an invitation then to find a relationship with Jesus, a longed-for relationship that humankind have, a God-created, a God-designed longing within humankind, because he created us to have a relationship with God the Father, God the Creator, through Jesus, his Son, an invitation to find a relationship with God. Take refuge in him, the verse goes on to say. Blessed are you who run to him, the message would read if you read it in that contemporary paraphrase version. That speaks to me about discovering something in response to a deep quest, a longing, a search. To commence and discover the longest lasting and most meaningful relationship ever experienced. Because to begin a relationship with Jesus is a long lasting. It's more than 50 years. It's eternal. The most familiar verse of the scripture, John 3:16, probably known the world around as the most familiar verse of the scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, yes, should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. It's the beginning of a relationship that'll last forever, the scripture points out, and it's proven by those who are experiencing it. It's for the now. My father used to say in his testimony on his feet, there is no end to the Christian journey. And he was looking forward to heaven. And I believe by the grace of God and the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus, he is in heaven celebrating the presence of God with my mother as well and others of my family. And I will see them one day by the grace and mercy of God through Jesus. So it's an invitation to a lifelong relationship. I remember a rendition of that wonderful hymn, For God So Loved the World. The International Staff Songsters have sung it some years ago. But I was fascinated by the repetition of, shall have everlasting, everlasting life. Bringing it to that crescendo. A celebration of the truth of the gospel of John 3:16, everlasting life. Let me tell you the story of a person who was recorded in Christianity Today back in 2002, the November issue. The title of the article was, I Was a Witch. Maybe the extreme to those who find Jesus. Atheists have come to know faith in God through Jesus, but here is a person who gives testimony, Kimberly Shumate. Kimberly Shumate, her lifelong, or it was a long conversion experience, according to the article, and she describes her coming to an understanding as she had interacted with some friends and was influenced by someone who had spoken. She says it like this, or the article described it like this. As Lisa drove me home, my mind ached as I replayed Scott's words. All the Old Testament and the New Testament verses had one oddly familiar voice, one tone, one heart. I wondered, how could a book written by so many different people, some 40 people, Ravi Zacharias will tell you, so she says, how would a book written by so many different people over the course of hundreds of years fit together perfectly as if one amazing storyteller has written the whole thing? She was talking about the Bible. The Holy Spirit began melting my vanity and arrogance with a power stronger than any hex, incantation, or spell I had ever used. Suddenly, the blindfold I'd worn for almost 30 years was stripped away, and instantly I knew what I had been searching for. Jesus, the testimony of a former witch. Can you imagine that you can taste eternity now? That you can get a glimpse of eternity now? That you can taste and experience a relationship that lasts on into the countless years of eternity? So the invitation goes, oh, taste and see. It begins and it never ends. It is a fact of humankind. We are really hungry for a deep experience, a relationship with God as it is. That's what it is. This is truly what many people are seeking and have yet to discover it because they are seeking for it in the wrong places and in material things, maybe, or by physical gratifications. Could this be you? Could this be someone here today that you are still searching and still seeking? And here is an invitation. It sounds almost too good to be true, doesn't it? But it is true. Many thousands have already found it and are thriving on this relationship with God, made possible through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, our mediator between humankind and God. This is the greatest news, the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is for the whosoever. That's what the text said. For God so loved the world that whosoever. You don't have to prepare yourselves before it. You don't have to get ready. You don't have to clean your act up. We can come as we are because of the amazing grace of God. And He, by His marvelous forgiveness and grace and goodness, will do the cleaning. He will do the transforming. He will help us where we feel weak of ourselves. That's the promise of the Word of God. Maybe we have lost our appetite, those of us who are believers. Maybe we're not as hungry for the things of God as we once were. Well, maybe this morning we need to come back to Him and ask God, the Holy Spirit, to help us to stir up within us a hungering. The Apostle Peter referred to that, going back to the psalm in his reference. 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. He is challenging the Christians to whom he is writing. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, and those of you who have given birth to babies know that it's not long before they go crying for something to eat. And all they need is found in mother's milk. Every nutrition they need is found in mother's milk. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, he is saying. So he is making the connection between spiritual hunger and physical hunger, so that by it you may grow up, mature in your salvation. Know that you have tasted and now that you have tasted the Lord is good. Direct reference to the psalm that Peter would have known from his hymn book, the Psalms. Jesus, in his long Sermon on the Mount, longer than this one, it must have taken a long time to teach all that he taught from Matthew chapter 5 on to chapter 7. Jesus gives the reminder that we are to seek first the kingdom of God. You could be challenged by worries and stresses about a lot of things, Jesus is saying to the congregation who sat on the mountainside overlooking the beautiful Sea of Galilee on that day, coming towards the latter part of his sermon, not the conclusion, but the latter part. And then he talked about, don't worry about the things that the secular world worries about. Verse 32 says, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Wow. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Seek first the kingdom of God. Taste God and His goodness through Jesus. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. There is a song of invitation in our songbook, written by a Salvation Army officer now gone to be with the Lord. In one of our famous musicals, General Gowans wrote, I believe it's 270, there is a message, a simple message. And it's the message for us all, the whosoever. There is a Savior, and what a Savior. There is a Savior for us all. I want us to meditate and reflect unhurriedly for a few moments. We won't be long. But you need to take to heart what the Word of God by His Spirit has been saying to us this morning. I know what He's been saying to me. I can only trust His work to speak to your heart, and you need to be open to Him. I can't open your heart. Only you can do that. Only you can respond for yourself. There is a message, are the words of 270 in the songbook. There is a message.